talking Jim. She's got some friends. I'm talking Brandy, Sherry, and their brother Jim.
Safety ho!
Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
No!
You are rocking. Rocking down the road with your cedar. We're going to be pulling up to the hotel soon. We have a 7 o'clock dinner, a cedar dinner, of course, because it's a totally cedar tour. And you are all in the zone, and that's exactly where we want to be. This evening, we will have the bus right out there, but we're not so sure if there is a lift or not. Maybe there is, I don't know. I'm not responsible for everything. I'm in the one way, a wrong way side of tour. Okay, tour guide. It's all good. You see how I pick up accents, yeah. And that I really mess it up, and I don't do so well, but, you know, try. This is a New England accent doing a French accent. Not so good. Oh, okay. Pamela says I'm doing well, then that means a bunch.
Welcome to Cider Chat. You just heard some audio snapshots from the French Cider Tour that took place in September of 2022. And my name is Rhea Windcaller. I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And on this episode 339, we are going with part two from the French Cider Tour, which in truth, I kind of feel like I am still on, which is a little bit surreal. I got a little bit more to that story. I'm going to take a little pause here. I'll be coming back with some news from out and about in Ciderville, and then we'll be going back to the French Cider Tour, bringing you a little bit up to date, hearing from the guests on the tour, and giving you a little sense of what it's like to come on an actual Totally Cider Tour with me, your host of this here podcast, and the producer of these cider tours that go out both to France and other locations around the world. Do you have your cider yeast for making cider? Well, if you don't, I want to recommend our sponsor of this here podcast, which is Fermentis. Fermentis is the world's largest cultivator of yeast. And I say cultivator because it's kind of like creating a culture, but maybe cultivator is not the right word. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They make yeast and they're the folks to get it to you. They have four different styles of yeast now, and each one will present a particular style, a particular characteristic in your cider. So whether you want it dry, sweet, or balanced, Fermentis has the cider yeast for you. Go to their website, fermentis.com, and check out all their different options. You could always throw in a beer yeast or a wine yeast. Certainly I have, and many people do. But if you want to stay in character, check out their SAF cider yeast. That's spelled S-A-F cider. And while you're there, look at the Fermentis Academy link, which they provide online webinars all about yeast, so you can get into it and get down with the yeast. In fact, if you want to know more and hear from a Fermentis tech, listen to the interview with Ann Flesch that took place just a couple episodes ago on episode number 336 called Cider Yeast Choices with Fermentis. There'll be a link in the show notes. And once again, a tip of the glass to Fermentis for supporting and sponsoring Cider Chat. In just 1 month's time, it's going to be Cider Days 2.0, which is always on the first weekend of November in Western Massachusetts. And this year, Cider Chat is sponsoring Cider Days 2.0, which is essentially a reboot of the largest and oldest cider fest in the U.S. of A. called Cider Days. This is a little event. I shouldn't say little because I just said it was the largest, but this is an event that I've been part of since it started back in 1994. And post the pandemic, we are rebooting it. And I'll tell you, it is gearing up. It's so exciting. Recently, all the glassware came in with the new logo, and we have some posters. So if you're seeing a poster that says The Pushkin and the Cider Pop-Up with vendors and tastings and talks, you know you are in the right neighborhood. In fact, the right neighborhood for all the events for Cider Days 2.0 is going to be downtown Greenfield, Massachusetts. And you might be thinking, well, why this particular town? Why this particular area? And the fact is that this is essentially the epicenter for where the modern cider movement in America really got its liftoff. That's not diminishing all the different apples and makers that were working it, all those different areas in the U.S. But it was here in 1984 that the only commercial cidery really started. And for myself, that's when I began teaching cider making at Cider Days, and that became an annual thing for the next 17 years. Well, of course, things change and they kind of like sway in different directions. And I'm so happy to say that post the pandemic, at least as we are moving out of it, I should say, we are bringing it back bigger and better than ever before. It's only going to continue to grow back to its original site. You know the story out there. If you're anywhere in the cider community, it's a slow rise out of the pandemic, but we are coming strong. And so Cider Days 2.0 is the updated version. And we're bringing back, though, some of the best parts of Cider Days, such as in 2019, we had the Calvados and American Apple Brandy tasting, which was a massive hit. Well, guess what? We're bringing it back again on Friday night's kickoff at Hawks and Reeds with both myself and Ambrosia Borowski. We have 4 different Calvados and 3 American Apple Brandies that we're going to be going through, along with charcuterie from both Veroni and Cabot Cheese Company in Vermont. There are workshops on Saturday morning, the cider pop-up at the Pushkin, which is across the street from the main venue, called Hawks and Reeds Performing Arts Center. So a lot of events taking place in downtown Greenfield, including the in-store tasting at Ryan and Casey's Liquors. They'll be having an in-store tasting from 12 to 3 p.m. where you could grab and go and also get signed bottles by Lisa Lair Dunn, whose family, the Lairs, is the oldest distiller in America. And she's going to be on hand. We're going to be having Lair's Apple Brandy at the Calvados and American Apple Brandy tasting. Lisa will also be presenting on Saturday morning the history of Applejack, and will be at the cider dinner that evening with 5 other women producers, including Judith Maloney, Louisa Spencer of Farnham Hill, Eleanor Leger of Eden Specialty Cider, Nicole Bloom of Carr Cider House, and Anne Garwood Hamp of Ragged Hill Cider. Expect a evening of entertainment, and some of the dignitaries, I can't even tell you, that are going to be in the audience are going to be a wow factor just there. I mean, you could come alone and just meet some of the most amazing people in the world, all excited about talking cider. And I hope to see you there and raise a glass at Saturdays 2.0, November 4th and 5th. Find ticket information, schedule, and events at ciderchat.com. Look for the link that says Saturdays 2.0. It's time now to head back onto the cider bus and bring you into the French Cider Tour and hear from the guest on the tour as we're rolling along into Paris. Now, before I go any further, you might be noticing, especially if you are a regular listener to Cider Chat, that my audio sounds a little bit different because essentially this is one of those Cider Chat lives. I'm recording very remotely right now as I am on the West Coast. I just returned home from the French Cider Tour. Thought I had a little bit of time to get landed and organized, but I had to come out here quickly for both a celebration and a little bit of sadness. Although we were expecting it because of my mother's very extended life, she was 102 years old, which was really gives you pause. So it wasn't too surprising that she was near that end. And so I had to fly out to California in just like record time and make it there to be able to be with her at the final hours, which I am happy to say I did. It was, I've been at a couple of deaths. I am an EMT. You know, I did that for many years. I have seen death at the doorstep of many people. And this one with mom was just, it was magnificent. I'm still processing it. I'm a little like, you know, in two states. So if you are listening to this and you've been like, Rhea hasn't gotten a hold of me in a while and all this is going on, it's because I'm in that like weird kind of state right now. So do bear with me, please. But there's more to the story that I want to share with you. And I just love how the world of cider comes together in this, even in the story of my mother's last and final hours. You see, while I was in France, I met up with my friend Philippe, who is a Perry farmer. We'd say Poiré Farmé. And I've been visiting him over the years and always bringing back some of his Calvados. And when I was there a week early before the French cider tour, I was in his barn looking at his Calvados and wondering what he had. He offered me a 2009 and then just kind of, you know, said off the cuff, oh, and here is a 1989. And it just so happens to be the last Calvados that my father distilled. And I was like, wow, your father, wow, what, you know, what's that about? And it turns out that this cask of Calvados has been sitting in a barn, unbeknownst to anyone, for all these years because a beam had fallen in the barn. When I say beam, these are like big, giant beams. And it was hidden behind this beam and really only found because Philippe and Marie Claire had just recently sold their farm. They're moving up the hill as a new young couple taking over, who I'm sure will be producing Poiré and Calvados. But they were kind of cleaning everything out and found this cask from 1989. Well, you can be guaranteed that I got a bottle, I tasted it, and it blew my socks off. I just loved it. I love an older Calvados. I really love it all, but I love an older Calvados. And I set up with Philippe then for our tour bus to stop, add an extra stop along the way, and we bought a case, and each group was able to bring a bottle of that 1989 home with them. So as I was packing up to come out to California, I threw in some cider to share, and then I wanted a special bottle, something that has significance. And so I grabbed that first bottle that I had received from Philippe and brought it with me. Originally, I was thinking this bottle would be something that I would open once Mom had departed and we would be saluting her then. But what actually happened was we had been with Mom nonstop. My brothers had been there for days and I arrived, you know, eventually because I was, again, crossing from Europe to East Coast and to West Coast and had helped with something with Mom. And we decided to step out of the room just to kind of all clear our head because, of course, you know, it's intense. So we stepped out and I said, you know, maybe this is a good time. So I actually grabbed the Calvados then. We sat down, had a toast to Mom, and I was probably out of the room for less than 10 minutes. And I said, I'm going to go back in. And I found, of course, my mom had flown off with the angels at that point. So the Calvados became really part of the story and gave us that pause, that moment to salute Mom. And maybe that was exactly right from a family who had grandfathers, her father being a bootlegger, and so much tradition around raising a glass to provide a transition to different momentous times in our life became the exactly right thing to have at that moment because it had provided us with a pause and provided her space. And maybe she knew that we were in good hands with that raised glass. All right. Thank you for listening to my story. I'm still processing it. And thank goodness for good libations. We're going to be moving now onto the cider bus. I'm going to take a little pause here, a little music break, and then you're going to be hearing from a series of people on the bus as we're touring back to Paris. I think that morning we opened up a bottle of Calvados around 10 a.m., had a big picnic out in an orchard at a beautiful chateau. I mean, this orchard itself had over 100 different varieties of apples in it. All the trees were laden with fruit. We had the picnic table with our lunches. We had extra cheese that people had all bought at the farmer's market and were like passing out. It was just an ongoing feast, a gourmand experience with everyone. What can I say? We are lucky. so lucky to have each other. And it's poetic too, because this group of people really personified exactly who my mother was, which was someone who had the mantra of peace at any cost and lived in absolute kindness every day of my life. It's just extraordinary life that she led. Maybe more on that for another day. Let's head to the French Cider Tour after this break. Transition music and a little bit of shaking off. And guess what I have beside me? Yes, that bottle of Calvados as I am recording in my little Santa Cruz apartment. I am with a woman here in town who does mosaic, incredible artwork, and I stay at her place when I'm in town because it's absolutely perfect for me. Outside is a little treehouse, a little ladder going up to it. I'm surrounded by beautiful flowers and sunshine and a bottle of Calvados, which brings us now to the French Cider Tour. We're going to be kicking off with folks from Washington State. You're going to be hearing from Jeff Stoner and Kim Taylor of Green Bank Cidery. And then we're going to be hearing from Scott and Ginger from Olympic Bluffs Cidery, also in Washington State, Tina from Florida, Robert Van Warden of Red Island Cider in Prince Edward Island in Canada, Brian Wing of Green Bench Cidery, well, actually, it's Green Bench Brewing and Cider and Mead down in St. Petersburg, Florida. And happy to report that Brian and the cidery there did not sustain any momentous damage like the rest of Florida. Really holding our thoughts with everybody there. And then we'll be hearing from Tristan Wright of Lost Boy Cider in Virginia. Deborah, who is a cider enthusiast and an orchardist, she and her husband David are from Oregon. You'll be hearing from David in a little bit. Then Dan and Lisa of Spacetime Mead and Cider Company based in Pennsylvania. Also Jody, based in California. Debbie and Bryce from Santa Cruz right here. And I understand that Debbie and Bryce just returned from the trip from France. We're all coming in from all over the place. This tour just happened. We are all still flying high as a kite. And I feel like that's what's kind of helping to carry me during this time. And I know it will carry everyone on this tour moving forward. Delighted to share with you now voices from the French Cider Tour of 2022.
So Jeff Stoner, Kim Taylor with Green Bank Cidery. We're from Coopville, Washington. That's where the cidery is.
Yep, you're okay.
Yep, okay. We've been in business for about 2 years, making our own cider. We own our own orchard, so we're orchard-based. And we really wanted to come out on this tour to see other orchard-based, harvest-based cideries in France. Learn about the varieties of apples they use, learn about how they make cider and how it differs from how we make cider in the United States. And as a result, this trip has been totally inspiring as a cider maker and a business owner and an orchardist. And I'm going to try to use some of the same techniques that they do here in France in the U.S. and see where that goes.
Have you had enough cider to drink on this trip here?
No.
We all yeah, laugh. Right. How about enough Calvados as he opens up another bottle of Calvados?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just delicious cider the way around.
Yeah. And I would have to say, for as far as expectations for this trip, it really blew me away with how each day was so full of a lot of fun, a lot of learning, a lot of good cider. And it was so well planned and so nice to have things planned for you. So you didn't have to worry. You just knew it was going to be a fun time. So,
yeah. Well, I enjoyed that myself, to actually be on the tour, because I'm kind of like you guys at this point. I'm just on the tour too. Yeah. And that's really good for me after last week.
So nice to have you.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
I'm going to go over here to Scott and Ginger.
So Scott and Ginger Wierzbanowski, we are starting our cidery, orchard-based as well. And the biggest thing that I would take away from this is that you see the entire spectrum of the types of cider and cider makers that you have here in France. From the small little farmer orchard to a larger orchard, and the different techniques that are being used here is just to give us a great flavor as to what you have.
And for me, I love the fact that we're traveling with a group of people that are like-minded. They either love cider or they're producing cider, and everyone is kind of communing in this new environment where we're learning new things, but also learning from each other. So from my perspective, we've made new friends and new contacts across not only the U.S. and Canada, but also in France. So I think, Ria, the way you've built these relationships with all of these cider makers and Calvados makers, etc., and they love you. They see you come, and it's like, someone greeting the bus with open arms, and that's, I think, for me, has been just very special. And the stories you tell along the way, because you can go shopping somewhere and walk into a store or walk into a liquor store and have one experience, but when you're seeing the maker, when you've already had this pre-existing relationship with them, it just makes everything magnified and, you know, tenfold the experience. So I think that's been great.
Have you had enough cider on this trip?
No.
Never. All right, Tina, we're going to go over to you here.
Okay. Well, I am from Jupiter, Florida. I am neither a cider maker nor an apple producer. I am a cider groupie. I love cider and have been drinking cider for 30 years.
And you're only 30 years old.
That's and I'm only 30. Yes, it's an awkward story. But I think one thing I learned about an appreciation for the small cider makers in the U.S. I've met quite a few of them on this trip, and their commitment and passion is very admirable, and makes me want to try to seek out those local cider producers. And then meeting and tasting the local cider in France has made me really want to try to expand what we can see in our grocery stores and our liquor stores to make more variety available. We have great big commercial producers, but I want more. I want to see more. I was fascinated with the process, the pride the people took in their farms and the product they produced, and everyone has a different angle, which is very intriguing. I have an ag background, so I understood most of the process and how the farms worked, which was good. And generally, I just like the drinking on the tour.
Have you had enough to drink, Tina?
Never enough. But we got such a variety and such a quality. You can never replicate this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for anyone who's a cider grouper, a producer, or an apple grower. I highly recommend it.
I like that, cider grouper.
I'm a groupie.
A groupie? I like being a cider grouper.
The grouper was the Calvados talking.
I'm a grouper now.
The grouper was the Calvados talking. But groupie. I'm a groupie. But no, it's been very... very educational, amazing. I've met some very authentically amazing people, so I very much appreciate it. I highly recommend this. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go over to Robert from Canada here.
Okay, I'm Robert. I'm from Red Island Cider in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, Canada. I'm the only Canadian on this trip, and apparently the nicest one of us all, yeah. I've been told. I think we're very fortunate to be on this tour at a time when cider is growing, not only in North America, but in France, and we're seeing that where it's starting to pick up a little bit and become more known as a competition towards beer and wine. I think we're still a long way away, but at the same time and place, we're very fortunate to be here at the beginning of this when people like Ria are bringing people here, and the makers here are very happy to see tourists and or makers or willing to share information and try to grow this industry across the not just here in Europe, but everywhere else. I think one of the more interesting aspects of the trip is that out of 6 days of traveling through France, we kind of approached, or at least I approached every day of saying that this was going to be amazing cider, or this is going to be amazing Perry or Calvados, and we're very fortunate to be here. But at the end of the trip, it was interesting to be able to look back on that and say, well, you know what, some of those were better than others, and some of them had this, and some of them had that, and some of them we appreciate, and there's a reason why we bought that bottle. And that just really shows the educational aspect of what we were treated to in terms of coming from a North American audience. We're not that familiar, at least I'm not that familiar with French ciders. But to be able to come away from this after 6 days saying, you know what, some of these are great, some of them are good, some of them I could do without. But that is part of the whole learning experience and how we make this a more accessible and enjoyable industry for everyone. So I think we're very lucky to be able to appreciate that at this point in time.
Cool. Thanks, Robert. I'm going to come back here and take Tina's.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming back here.
Yeah, perfect. Good. Get back here and stick the mic in front of us.
All right. All right. Let's go with you, Brian.
Sure. So my name is Brian Wing. I'm from Green Bench Mead and Cider in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I think I came on the trip for a couple things and found a couple things, really. And one was that French cider was really the first cider that opened my eyes to craft, really what craft could be, or what was available. Because in Florida back in the day, it was easier to get a bottle of French cider at Whole Foods than it was to get something from even the Northeast or the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, DuPont cider was where I really cut my teeth, as it were, with and what got me excited about cider. So it was a dream come true to be able to come and drink that here. So that was amazing. And then trips like this, it's always so easy as a as a business owner to sort of get caught up in the business of cider making. And the business of staying in business, right? And trips like this have a way of sort of re-energizing me and making me excited about what I do, the business that I run, and the life that I get to lead. So meeting all these people, the French cider makers, obviously meeting the other folks on the tour, and getting to drink this amazing, amazing liquid, just really, you know, sort of reminds me of why I'm doing it. And gets me excited to go home. I mean, not that excited to go home, let's be honest, but excited to go back home and really kind of share what I learned here and spread that wealth. But yeah, it was amazing. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I will do it again.
I'm excited that you're going to be bringing all that product home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And doing that. Can you talk just a little bit about what you're going to be doing there?
Sure. So I at Green Bench, we make a point to really spend a lot of time with training front of house staff and the back of house staff, really. And so every month we spend an evening on a Monday when we're closed, and the staff all gets together and we try beers, ciders, meads. We talk about styles and mm-hmm. things like that so that everybody really understands kind of what we're trying to do and how to sell that to the drinking population in Florida. And so I've got to buy another suitcase, so I'll have three suitcases to bring back full of cider and Calvados and Poiret and all this wonderful liquid that we bought on the trip. And I'll be able to spend, you know, a few hours after I get home taking my staff through, you know, photographs of the trip and telling them about all the producers that we met and their process. And then while we do that and look at those pictures, we'll be able to sample all of that cider and Poiret and Calvados and Pommeau and everything that we've picked up here. So it's the least I can do for the folks that, you know, made it possible for me to come out here, is to come back and share everything I could bring. So, you know, provided I make it through customs. We should have a good time.
And you will.
Yeah.
You will.
Knock on wood here. Yeah.
Yeah. Pomona will be with you.
That's right.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah. Thank you, Rhea.
You always wanted to be a bootlegger.
That's right. Now's my chance.
A Floridian pirate. Cider pirate.
That's right.
Privateer.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Hey.
All right, Tristan.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm Tristan, right? I own and founded Lost Boy Cider in Alexandria, Virginia, which is in Northern Virginia, near Mount Vernon, George Washington's home, and we contract orchard apples from the Glaze family in the Shenandoah and the Blue Ridge Mountains. And so, yeah, I'm here with my wife Katie, and you know, I should start by saying thank you to Rhea, who, if anyone listens to this ever, and you have an opportunity to spend some time with Rhea and the people that she's associated with, do it. Make it happen, because it's
this make me cry. Stop. Damn it.
Well, I don't want that to happen. But it's the truth. So yeah, so Lost Boy Cider is a 3-year-old cidery. It's an extension of my heart. I left a white collar tie job to jump, you know, head off a cliff and get into apples. And so I'm here because, you know, the French have been making cider for 1800 years, maybe longer. And if you haven't tried and experienced, French cider, it's important to do that if you wanted to do something special with North American apples. And so, you know, life's about perspective, right? And I'm here because I want to continue to experience as much as the apple's willing to give me and I can absorb. And so I'm so motivated to go home and experiment with a deeper understanding and appreciation for terroir and the ways the trees communicate and receive information from the land that they're planted in, and the patient process that the French have sort of refined over 1,000 years. And it's something, as Lost Boy evolves and Tristan evolves, our cider will evolve and grow, and we'll continue to share that the wealth that the apples give us in North America, which we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Bon voyage.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're off to the races.
You're already in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so that's our deal.
Right on. Thank
you. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. My pleasure. This is the quietest that this back of the bus has been through the whole time. I just want to say, you guys have been really good. I mean, all of a sudden, you're all like really serious and getting on your podcast voice. I really, I'm kind of impressed.
Raising his middle finger while he's trying to contact me.
Really awesome.
Oh, Country Road, one more time.
All right, on the Country Road.
Sweet Caroline.
Okay, I'm going to head up here.
Hello, okay. My name is Deborah Nelson, and I'm a home orchardist, cider maker from Southern Oregon in the Rogue River Valley. I love French ciders, and I grow a lot of French cider trees, but I hadn't been exposed to tasting very many French ciders, so this was the perfect trip. We visited the quality and the characteristics of the cideries that we visit was far exceeded my expectations. This was a fabulous tour, and I would encourage anyone to go.
Awesome. And you got to meet your how would you say it? Someone you really wanted to meet.
Yeah.
And who is that?
Eric Bordelai.
Yeah, you got to sit next to him. Primo.
Yeah.
Dan.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hello. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour. Bonjour. Oui, oui.
Yeah. We have that right.
Yeah. We learned some things besides cider. So I'm Dan Schreffler, and my wife Lisa is here. We are the owners of Space Time Meat and Cider Works. And when we saw the opportunity for the trip, one thinks it's an opportunity simply to taste some French ciders. For me, it was ultimately more than that. There's trips you can take, and there's no change in your timeline in the multiverse. If I didn't do this trip in another place, my life wouldn't have changed at all. The ability to taste the cider, meet with the cider makers, see where they've come from, generations coming from, the building, the techniques. You can't read that in a style guide. There's no way that you could read a description of aroma and flavor and mouthfeel and have any understanding of really what this product is without understanding the passion and the terroir and everything behind it. So there's vacations that I've been on that if I didn't go on them, it wouldn't have mattered in my life. If I wouldn't have gone on to this, my life is going to be different 5 years from now because I was on this trip. It was that powerful of an event for me.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jody from San Diego, California, and I really enjoyed my time on the cider tour this year. The mix of not only being able to taste and experience French cider out in the countryside, but also the ability to meet other cider enthusiasts and cider makers from across the U.S. and Canada, and just sharing the camaraderie and the love and the joy of tasting ciders and poise together has been my favorite part.
Was there a particular town that you liked visiting?
I really liked St. Malo, the walled city, and getting to see a movie being filmed just randomly was really interesting. Getting to see the historical costumes, and then all the gardens and some of the chateaus and castles that we visited, all with fantastic cider and French food, just made the experience wonderful.
Do you think we've drunk enough cider on this trip?
I probably have not, but I think collectively others have made up for me, so I think we've probably drunk our quotient, if not more.
And we're still drinking in the back
and
of the bus.
And we are still drinking in the back of the bus, yes.
We got a little time between you.
Exactly.
So I am Pamela, as you know, and I am a travel agent. Most of the time I organize tours, and most of the time I don't really go like into the tours, but for some special one I always like being there. And you know why? Because this is what Debbie was saying, there is always something really special like in your tour, like you make it really different. So
but
this
you
is,
make it easy for me to make it different, like,
but it's part of my job.
It's part
this
of
is
your
my job,
job, but you know, we've worked together now for, you know, a couple of years, and traveled. I came over to just travel with you individually, and you showed me Brittany. But Pamela is from Brittany, so you know, Normandy and Brittany, we get to see those two different sides of the coin. And you have a certain way. I mean, everybody's kind of giving me credit for having the vibe, but you, my friend, have the vibe. You have the cider vibe, and you have kindness. You just...
Well, I have the cider tradition. I have the cider DNA
you have the
into
cider
my blood.
DNA. You do.
Maybe that's the reason
you
why.
Do. You do.
No, absolutely. But really, actually, it's really interesting for me as well, because talking about, like, joking about the cider DNA, but I also really, like, I also learn a lot, because this is exactly what she said. Like, cider makes people together, and it really make, like, it does really thanks to you. Because you have you have the ability and the view to make it work together, and yeah, to make it work. So really, congratulations for that. Because it could be just about drinking cider, you know,
right,
and just
right.
tasting
be,
like
yeah, yeah.
and like compare like making mm-hmm. comparison about cider. But you go beyond it. You go with the culture. Like you go deeper to the just a cider tasting issue, mm-hmm. and this is just all about you. Actually, this is the point. It wouldn't be the same if somebody else like
we're just going around tasting cider and buying the cider. Hello, goodbye, and not stopping at like the Chateau and Côte Rouge.
And I can tell, especially like in really for Pacori, for example, right now, like it could be
Frédéric,
really difficult
Pacori, uh-huh, right,
for Frédéric.
Yeah.
It could be really difficult for him to host you because you are really special. Because you make what makes you special is that you make the cider not being just like something we drink. It's beyond that, and this is also the reason why they open the door for you. Because when I talk to them and I say, okay, so it's for Ria, oh yeah, it's for Ria, okay. Because most of the time it might be really more difficult, and it is more difficult. So also like on the cider producer side, I can tell like you're not like just a regular person, because you make it like really special, and it's like a recognition for their work as well, and what they want to, yeah. you know, convey through their work. So thanks for that, yeah.
Well, we have to, like, do this all together to keep the orchard safe and trees. We don't want to have them
definitely
taken down.
Yeah, definitely,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, because, Pamela, to work with you is just such an honor.
Well, thank you.
You are our lucky charm. You are our lucky charm. I wouldn't want to come to France without you.
Yeah, say it to Carl. Next time, Carl might be part of it.
That's right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there's a little thing on the cider tour that folks listening out there should know is that on every cider tour, we always have someone who's pregnant. And this time it is our amazing tour guide, Pamela, who is pregnant. So if you want to come on a cider tour and you're thinking about just relaxing and finally maybe, you know, you want a baby, you never know. It might be your lucky day. And this time, Pamela was our secret little lucky charm.
Yeah, definitely.
It is true. It's a tradition. It's been happening. So there you go.
True.
Merci beaucoup.
De rien. Merci à toi. Ah, yeah, next time you speak French.
Next time.
No question.
She does it in French.
Yes, okay, all right. All right, oui, oui.
I'm Dr. Dave Nelson, and I'm from Southern Oregon, retired marine biologist. Came on my tour, this tour with my wife, Deborah, who's also a biologist, and I was sort of the baggage carrier, but I really enjoyed the trip. I guess what I enjoyed most about the trip was the people. The driver, David, who was very professional, drove the bus and always felt very comfortable. I could sit up and watch the houses and the landscape and all the trees and all the environment that people live in this country. I didn't like Paris because it's crowded, but I really loved the countryside, which is where we spent almost all our time. I liked our interpreter and guide, Pamela, who was always smiling and friendly and helped us with languages. I'm terrible with languages, and she didn't embarrass me at all. She helped me learn things, and we asked her questions about French and the French people, and she told us, I love the people of the countryside. You know, you hear that the people aren't friendly here or not very nice, and that's completely untrue. Everybody was always very helpful here. And I love that part of it. I loved working with Rio, kept us organized and made us understand this was more than just an exercise. It was supposed to be fun and a good trip. And she took us around all the different types of cideries. And it was nice to meet the cidery people, a whole range of people from big ones to little ones. And everybody was just really helpful. And that was the part I enjoyed was the people. And also the people that on the bus, the people that we went with, everybody was, as we got to know everybody was just really friendly, and they shared their Calvados, and they shared their cider, and they shared their sausages and all the food with us. And we all shared. It was like one big happy family. So that's the part I enjoyed in the trip the most, is the people.
I have to admit that I enjoyed talking to you about boating. It was good to have a kindred spirit who knew all about a little bit of boating.
Yeah, and Rio's promised to take me fishing. That's really important.
That is true. You come out to my special spot of Ciderville, and we're going to go fishing.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, David, for being such a kind person on this tour.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it so much.
So I just first of all want to say thank you to you, Rhea, for being such an excellent host and tour guide and tour assembler. The way you put together this journey was really surprising, because we got to meet so many different kinds of people who are crafts people who know and are they're the experts in their region. They're thinking about passing on the tradition, and it's their cultural heritage. And I'm not a cider maker, I'm a consumer, but I am someone who studies generations of traditional culture producers. And so if you don't have someone to carry on the tradition, like your children or other folks who are interested, young generations, the traditions don't often live on and change with the times. So I've learned so much about that in these regions, and I would never have known how much cider making is a part of the French culture. I really didn't know much about it at all, so I'm still learning so much. I want to learn more. The tastings were eye-opening. Bryce makes cider at home. I still love his ciders, but I haven't had a chance to really sample ciders from France, and so the terroir is so different. You know, I can't say enough great things about this tour. I would encourage anyone, even if you don't think you like or know cider, to come on the tour, because you will have such a great time. It was just also fun and relaxing, and your vibe is really inclusive and inviting, and we can ask questions. We were all free to be ourselves, and also I think you attract a very specific kind of group where people are open-minded. They are kind to each other, want to hang out with each other. It's one of the more social groups I've ever been on tour with. Not that I've done tons of tour, but I've done tons of travel, who want to hang out with each other from day one. And that is no doubt because of the way you constructed the tour and encouraged us to just be in the zone, as you say. I think we should analyze what you mean by in the zone, because I think there's something there.
It has to do with drinking a lot of cider. Because it's in the zone. Oh, Cavados, Pomona.
But I mean, really, what do you mean? Once you do, what do you mean by in the zone?
I see cider as being fun. Right? And so not to take yourself too seriously.
Yes.
Just have fun.
Yes.
And for adults to be on a trip to just have fun is really important and something that we don't get to do very often. And also to, like, you know, take a step away from our life, and, you know, we're all living really busy lives, and we had to get it together to come all the way to France.
Yes.
And pull it together, and now just let the cares go free. Let Pamela, our most amazing tour guide in France, hold our hand and be our shepherd. She's amazing.
When you said that, you kind of framed that for us on day one, where you said adults don't generally allow ourselves the time and the place and the chance to play. That was helpful for me because it gave me permission to just let go and drop in, as you say. And I really appreciated that, and it made a difference, you know, the whole framing of the tour. And I could say more. The centuries of tradition of producing cider, there's something very profound in that, and there's something that I like in your conversations with each cider maker that I learned from, which is maybe the different producers don't have occasion to talk with each other enough to sort of create a community. It's a pretty small, if you think of it in scale-wise, region. They could be talking with each other. They could have an association, or call it what they will, where they really communicate for the lifting everyone up, you know, instead of the whole competitive. I mean, there's always in any market competition, but if they can lift each other up and push each other on, then the encouragement is there, and the cider making world can grow. And I got that from you and your vision, and I think you communicated that to each maker or asked about that in a different way that was very context specific. So I appreciated your you hope can happen, and how you communicated that with each maker. And I think you're onto something. I know you've been doing it for a while. I'm new, so forgive me. But I can really see what's happening, and so I thank you for that. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah. I appreciate that.
She's good
at
the point.
Wow, that was awesome. That's good. I appreciate that perspective, because very thoughtful. Yeah, right on. And it's helpful for all of us to hear that.
Well, number one, it's a lot of fun. And I think it's... there was a lot to learn, whether you're, like Deb was saying, a neophyte and who doesn't really make it, or if you're like experienced producers on the bus, that it seemed like there was something for everyone to learn from, I think.
And what did you learn? Now, you're a maker, so what are some of your takeaways? Like, tasting, what would you do differently? Maybe?
I would probably still make cider the way I make it. I love the tasting, the variety, but I like what I make at home. I like as much. Okay, well, maybe with the exception of Eric Bordelais and DuPont's was really good too. Okay, so maybe there was three makers who I maybe would try to emulate Pacoli, but if they're not going to give up their information, then I don't know how they're doing it. But no, that's the beautiful thing. It's like you can taste, like even like wine, you know, you can taste like Chablis here in France, and then you taste Chardonnay in California. It's the same grape, but it expresses itself differently, and so it's it's cool to be able to taste essentially the same thing being produced in two different parts of the world. This is a terroir issue, or
it is,
terroir
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
But
Well, that's okay sometimes to realize that what you're doing is really spot on how you like. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's what I mean. It's
that's
great.
Affirmation. That's perfect.
No, without adventuring out into the world, you don't know. I mean, you can't appreciate.
You weren't coming out here, though, to see if you should make your cider different.
No.
You came out here to drink French cider.
Exactly. And to learn what it's about. Yeah.
Right.
And, I learned a few things that I really loved. I was always thinking that cider was the best until we really drank a lot of Poiret, and now, as I've said a few times, like, I think Poiret is where it's at. Like,
yeah, that's something you've been saying.
Yeah. I can't get those Blanc de Blanc.
But like Eric was saying yesterday, make cider or Poiret with what you've got. Like, don't assume it's back to the Chablis versus Chardonnay. Like, you can't necessarily take the same plant, put it somewhere else in the world, and get the same results. So
absolutely.
I don't know what the Peri Pears are in California, but there's got to be some.
There are some, between San Jose and Santa Cruz, there was that little Stagecoach trail. And I have heard that there's like little Peri Pear trees up in those hill towns, the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Right. There's actually, there's someone in the foothills of the Sierras, the Felix Gillette. Yeah, Felix Gillette. It's an institute, and they're taking they're going to like all these old homesteads that are still left in the gold country, and they find like these old trees, and they're taking grafts, and then they figure out what the varieties are. Yeah. So maybe that's the way to, because they were making cider and high Poiret. Yeah.
For our own terroir.
Right.
Yeah. Not necessarily what the French are doing. Finding their own way.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
But, I have two more. Oh, sorry.
No, please.
I thought of two more things.
Okay,
so I think I might have mentioned this, but I really loved the pacing of the tour and the way you put in cultural experiences. I mean, the cider making, no doubt, is a cultural experience unto itself. But other than cider, we got to see chateaus, the countryside. We got to spend time in cafes, in pubs, just enjoying the scenery, enjoying the food. Really different towns, many different towns. That was wonderful. And we also didn't have to get up at 6 a.m., sometimes. I thought 9 was such so reasonable, and 8:45, that's a great
departure time.
Really tried.
No matter what Pamela did.
She allowed me to do it.
Pamela wanted us to get up earlier.
And it was awesome. And then the other thing is that j'adore parler le français. I love the French language. And so it's been since, for me, lycée, since high school, that I've really spoken and studied. So it was such a wonderful excuse for me to study my French again and practice and learn. And I'm newly inspired to continue learning the language and reading. And, so I'm thankful for that,
Nice. Inspired. I think we're all feeling a little inspired. Tired, maybe a little bit, but energized to go back home and not like I need a vacation from my vacation.
No. Refreshed.
Not at all. Refreshed.
Good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merci beaucoup.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Ria.
I think we all need a little bit more of that. Good words to live by, some amazing insight. Super excited to hear all the makers coming back who are really energized and looking at their own product and thinking even further out of the box than perhaps before. Lots of good things to be learned, and it's all about kind of stepping out on the limb. And how about just all the kindness, right? I mean, you get why I grabbed that bottle of Calvados to bring with me to California. At the very tail end, I'm going to be, instead of playing a little cider song, I'm going to be playing a clip from the bus. This was recorded at Manoir d'April with Agathe Lettier. Agathe is a cider maker in Pendipi, which is up by Honfleur. We spent a cider dinner night with her, and then the next day we went out to her cidery, and we had a classic Norman buffet, toured about, and it was just so much fun. So leave it to Agathe to get on the bus and leave us with a little bit more good cheer. So with that, I, my friends, I'm going to leave you here. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Bye to everybody. Thank you for coming. Thank you to Rhea. She's the best. And so I hope you enjoy your journey in Normandy and in Brittany. It's very nice also. Even if the Norman people and the Britain people are fighting. Okay, that the Mont-Saint-Michel belongs to Normandy.
Oh!
Please remember that. Very important. The cider is nice in Brittany, but better in Normandy also. Oh, we like the Breton. They have the tête de pioche. You know, it's têtu. Okay, bye-bye and have a nice day.